Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today to understand the prophecies, to understand the times we're living in, to understand what we need to be doing in our lives for God. So I want to ask you a question. How much time do you have for God? Now think about the world we are living in. Think about your daily life. You have 8 hours to work, 8 hours to sleep, and 8 hours for other things. Now, some of that may be taken up in commuting. Some of that may be taken up in other activities. But how much time do you have for God? Because He's given you everything that you have, and especially if He has blessed you with many things. Now, I've been traveling recently, and it brought to mind a scripture in the book of Daniel, which describes exactly the end times. Daniel 12 and verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. It's unsealed now because the book of Revelation is that which unseals the book of Daniel. But this was given back in the 500s B.C., so it wasn't yet time for God to reveal the fullness of His plan and what He's going to do. Now, if you don't have our series on Daniel and Revelation, now, let me just warn you, this is a very deep study in prophecy. And you better be ready to spend some time on it. And you're going to learn a lot. So you can write and ask for this study on Daniel and Revelation. Now back to verse 4. Shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Now listen to this next sentence. This is one of the best descriptions of the modern times today. Many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. Now, think about all the transportation that people take. Walking, riding, it can be a bicycle, it can be a motorcycle, it can be a car, it can be a bus, it can be a truck, it can be a plane. And you can go to and fro, wherever you want to go. And if you're flying, you're going to be there with a lot of other people, too, that are going to and fro. And when you think about the number of planes that are flying in the air at any one time, the number of cars that are driving wherever at any one time, the number of people that are going here and there at any one time, would you not say that this prophecy has been fulfilled?
There are on average 30,000 flights across European airspace every day in July. These flights cover a combined distance of 25 million nautical miles. The video features London Heathrow and London Gatwick, which is the busiest airport with only one runway in the world. On June 21st, 5,675 airplanes departed or arrived from UK airports. Gatwick and Heathrow accounted for 2,295 of those flights.
and knowledge shall be increased. We have more knowledge of things than at any time in the history of mankind. And it's increasing exponentially. They say that if you don't change things every 6 months, you're going to be left behind. Now, that's probably true. But look at how active people are. And look at your life. You have so many things to do. So the question is, how much time do you have for God? Now, we've covered a lot about the Sabbath day, which is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you work and do your labor. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest unto the Lord. Question, do you keep the Sabbath? Those who do have one day for God. Now, they also have other time for God. We'll talk about that a little later. That involves study and prayer as well. Look at a lot of the Sunday keepers. Why? Where they have golf associations and golf teams.
Instead of heading to Mass, the people that walk into Rochester Cathedral see a golf course? Yeah, you heard right. This cathedral in England transformed its nave into a mini golf course for the summer. Services are held in other areas.
This is about people having fun in the cathedral, getting people perhaps who haven't been here before to come into the cathedral.
There are even those who work it out with the local pastor. That is, they're driving out to the golf course on Sunday, that they stop by the church in a drive-thru, almost like a McDonald's church. And the pastor puts his head into the church and pronounces a blessing on them that day. When, years ago, people used to try and keep Sunday like the Sabbath, and they go off on their way, or they go shopping, or whatever it is. See? So again, how much time do you have for God? Let's come here to Luke, the 14th chapter. Let's see a couple of places here where Jesus talks about how much time you have for God. Verse 15, Luke 14. Then one of those who sat at the table with him after hearing these things said to him, "Blessed is the one who shall eat in the kingdom of God." Now that's a true statement. And he said to him, "A certain man made a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servants at supper time and said to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But every one of them with consent began to excuse himself." Now think about your time. Do you study the Bible? Do you take time to pray to God? Are you so busy? You've got to commute, so you've got to get back and forth. You've got to work, so you have to do that to live. And what about your wife? What about your children? Notice, the first one said to him, "I bought a field and I need to go see it. I beg of you, have me excused." And another said, "I bought 5 pairs of oxen and I'm going to try them out. I beg of you, have me excused." And another said, "I married a wife, and because of this, I'm unable to come." That is an amazing thing, isn't it? Quite a thing. Now let's see the parallel account in Matthew 22. Now, can you rebuff God? Can you deny God? Matthew 22, verse 1. And again, Jesus answered and spoke to them in a parable, saying, now this is talking about your whole relationship with God, in your part in the plan of God, the ability for you to receive eternal life or to not receive eternal life, your ability to obey God or to not obey God. And in this case, this is a parable for the Jews in Judea at the time of Christ. And let's see what happens to those who don't have time for God. Verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is compared to a man who is a king who made a wedding supper for his son. And he sent his servants to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they refused to come. Now think about this for a minute. How many times have you heard me talk about the Sabbath day and its importance, and do you believe that you should keep the Sabbath, or do you refuse because you don't have time for God? You think about it because that's a decision you need to make, because that involves your independent free moral agency. But I want you to see what happened to those who refused. Verse 4, afterwards he sent out other servants saying, say to those who have been invited, behold, I prepared my dinner, my oxen, the fatted beast are killed, all things are ready, come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. Now notice, because they didn't want to have any room for God in their lives, notice what they did to the servants of God. Verse 6, and the rest, after seizing his servants, insulted and killed them. And did they not do that to all the apostles? Yes, they did. And when the king heard it, he became angry, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Question: was Jerusalem and Judea destroyed in 70 AD because of refusing Christ? Answer: yes. And by the way, that was the second time it was destroyed, because they didn't have time for God. They wanted their gods, they wanted their religions, they wanted their works, they wanted their businesses, they wanted all the things that they had, but they had no time for God. Not even time to even say, thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. Thank you, Lord, for the life that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you have given. And how long did that take? 20 seconds? Didn't even have time for that. Now let's look at another case here. Let's come to Matthew 13 in verse 39. Then we'll look at some other verses and see, does this apply to you? That you don't have time for God? Well, what's going to happen when difficult times come and you want God to help you? But God is going to say, you had no time for me, and you want me to help you in your difficult times? Why didn't you come to me and have time for me in your good times? And isn't that the way human nature is? Oh yes, they want God in their emergency. They want God in their troubles. But they want their sins, and they want their abortions, and they want their sex, and they want their drugs, and they want the desecration of the Sabbath and desecration of God's holy days. They want their holidays and all the business things attached with us. And the coming holiday of Halloween is now greater business than Christmas, the day dedicated to Satan the devil, the first holiday of the year, Satan and death, witchcraft and seances. and all kind of sin and perversion. But they don't have any time for God, because God says, don't do those things. God says, love me and keep my commandments, and I'll bless you. Let's come here to verse 37. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Now, the good seed is the Word of God. And when you hear the Word of God, that's like seeds from God to help you respond back to God. But will you do it? Or will you ignore it? Let's see what happens. Verse 38, the field is the world and the good seed. These are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. And now the enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Now notice what's going to happen to the tares. Now the tares are those who are religious people who think that they can dabble in the Bible and take some of this and take some of that and create their own fake Christianity, their own fake religion, and God will accept them. But they're not producing any true fruit for God through loving Him and keeping His commandments. It's their own ways and their own actions. So notice what's going to happen. Verse 40, therefore the tares are gathered and consumed into fire, so shall it be in the end of the age. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all offenders and all of those who are practicing lawlessness. Now, what is lawlessness? Now, lawlessness comes in many forms. It can come in violence. It can come in throwing away the laws of God. It can come from ignoring the laws of God and having in place of it your own morals and your own standards. That's lawlessness. And that's the way the world is today. Now, you need to get with the Word of God, and you need to start setting some time aside for God, for prayer, for study, for understanding the Word of God, because the day is going to come for the fulfilling of those who have excused themselves from turning to God because they're so busy. And they shall be cast into the furnace of fire, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Eternal life for those who love God and keep His commandments and make time for God and Jesus Christ. That's an important thing. So he concludes this by saying, the one who has ears to hear, let him hear. Do you hear the Word of God? Are you willing to respond to the Word of God? How much time do you have for God out of your 24-hour day that you're so busy that you can't even take some time? And here's what happens when you have no time for God. Let's read it, verse 14. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, in hearing you shall hear, and in no way understand. Because you can't just give a couple of minutes to God while you're going off to golf or shopping or working or building or cleaning or whatever it is you're doing or traveling or sightseeing and expect to have any understanding of God. Because you won't. Because you don't have any time for God. And in seeing, you shall see and in no way perceive. So here's what happens, verse 15. For the heart of this people has grown fat. Hey, isn't that true? That means filled with everything. Filled with everything. And they forget God. Hold your place here and come to Deuteronomy 8. Let's see what God always says. And this is New Testament doctrine as well. Those ministers who lie to you and say the law is done away are lawless, renegades, serving Satan the devil and not God.
I remember when a friend of our family had their bat mitzvah. Afterwards, we went to this big Jewish feast. And they had all these really strict laws about what you could eat and what you couldn't. And we might think, oh, that's great. Jesus abolished all those laws and make it a lot easier for us. He did abolish them.
They have a false Christianity, a false Christ, and false holidays that are satanic. And you need to understand that. Verse 6. And you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and fear him. For the Lord your God brings you into a good land. Now think about this in relationship to our land, right here in America. A land of brooks of waters, fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. A land wherein you shall eat bread without scarceness. And isn't that true? We have more food than we know what to do with. And when we do with it, we gain weight.
This health epidemic is weighing on Americans. Reports show the U.S. obesity epidemic is only getting worse. Efforts to encourage Americans to stop putting on weight seem to have little effect. NBC News reporting nearly 40% of adults and almost 20% of teenagers are obese, according to studies by the CDC. They're not just overweight. Obese is medically defined as someone having a body mass index of more than 30. Researchers expect the problem to grow, with up to 44% of Americans projected to be obese by the year 2030. The bottom line, more Americans are putting on too much weight.
And the Bible talks about grown fat. And that is true. You shall not lack anything in it. Tell me, even those who are in poverty, what do you actually lack? Except what you lust after. It is a land whose stones are iron, out of whose hills you may dig copper, and that means oil and precious stones and all the things that come out of the land. Now here's a warning. This is right where we are today. So again, I want to ask you, how much time do you have for God? Verse 10, when you have been eaten and are full, doesn't that talk about us? Isn't that the way we are? Yes, indeed. You shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command you today. Because you don't have time to study them or read them or know anything about them because you're so busy. And Satan loves that. He loves busybodies. He loves to keep people busy so they can't think about God. They can't think about life. They can't think about what they need to do for God. But what about you? How much time do you have for God? Now notice what happens here. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built goodly houses and live in them. Isn't that true? And when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied and say, look how great we are. Look what we have done as a people, as a nation, and we are going to do it again. Beware. Think about how much time do you have for God? Because here's what will happen. And that's what happened to those that we read in the example of being invited to come to the supper. Then you become haughty of heart, vain, egotistical, lifted up, self-important. And you forget the Lord your God who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Or you forget that God gave you life through your mother and your father. And that's why we all have a little place right in the middle of our stomach called the navel. So you know you came from your father and you came from your mother. So let's come back to Matthew 13 again. Verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, which you're hearing right now, and does not understand it, the wicked one comes. Who keeps you from giving time to God? Satan, by having everything all busy. A lot of good things to do. But if they're against God, they're wicked, even though they look good. And snatches away that which was sown in his heart. This is the one who is sown by the way. Now the one who was sown upon the rocky places is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Oh, this is wonderful! But they don't stick around. But because he has no root in himself, he does not endure. And when tribulation, persecution arise because of the word, he's quickly offended. The one who was sown among the thorns, now listen to this, because there are a lot of people like this today, they just could not get away from taking care of their money and business and things like that. And the one who is sown among the thorns is the one who hears the word of God, but the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now then, here's the solution to the problem. You make time for God. You study his word. You let the word of God be the seed in your mind to help you grow in grace and knowledge and obedience and love to God. And that you keep the Sabbath holy. That you honor God with your substance. That you do the things that please God. And here's the result of that. Verse 23. But the one who is sown on the good ground, this is the one who hears the word and understands because they take time for God. Who indeed brings forth fruit and produces. One 30-fold, another 60-fold, another 100-fold. Producing, serving, doing what God wants. So these are the things that we need to understand. We must make time for God. And that begins with your choice of keeping the Sabbath. You can keep it right at home. That's why we have church at home. And you can study the Bible right there at home. And you can do this as a family. And you can learn the Word of God. We have many things to help you. So you can do that. And you need the book, Lord, What Should I Do? That will give you a start on what you need to do, how you can come to God, how you need to repent. So, once again, this is Fred Golder saying thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, so long, everyone.